All right. Good evening, everyone. I have put this podcast off long enough. I want to welcome everyone to my very first episode. It actually feels really weird doing this by myself. It's like talking to myself is very odd. It's kind of weird because I actually do it all the time. To kind of problem solve. I'm not sure if you guys operate that way, but that's how I roll. Anyway, welcome to Odiwan Kenobi's very first solo podcast, Odiwan Kenobi Speaks. That is a play on a nickname that I have, one of my many nicknames. And you're with your host, Odiflay. And my podcast is basically designed to talk about all forms of media, whether that's going to be books, movies, TV shows, and all types of media, music, concerts, whatever you can think of. I'll give my 2 cents on it. And I definitely have some guests lined up, so I hope you guys keep listening. And today's review is going to be on Death Wish, the remake, actually. And kind of, we're going to lay out the show so that this is not going to be spoiler free, at least in the beginning. You'll be given ample opportunity to go ahead and kind of tune out until you see the movie yourself. And then, of course, hopefully you'll tune back in to listen to my thoughts on the actual spoilers. So we'll go ahead and jump right into it. Again, today's episode is going to focus on my reviews and thoughts on Death Wish. And I'm definitely referring to the 2018 remake with Bruce Willis. And just like a quick wiki search, I don't know how accurate Wikipedia can be, but I definitely want to talk about the original. So just kind of rewinding back in time, the original Death Wish came out in 1974 with Charles Bronson. And it had a kind of a cast of like, of people making appearances, people I didn't know who were people at the time, like Lawrence Hilton Jacobs. He played one of the muggers in the movies. But just to give kind of like an overview before we even get into that, the movie is basically about a guy who is a vigilante. His wife ends up murdered. That is not a spoiler. I mean, it's in the trailer. Anyway, his wife ends up murdered. His daughter is attacked, and of course, like, he's trying to cope and figure out how to find the guys responsible for doing it. And he has his own brand of justice, so to speak, on how to go about doing that. So in the original with Charles Bronson, there are definitely some differences here. Charles Bronson is an architect. In the 2018 version, Bruce Willis is a doctor. Which kind of proves to be kind of useful later, which we'll get into during the spoiler section. And there's definitely some differences as far as like how the daughter and the wife were abused. I think kind of the place and time is relevant to this, because in the original version, you know, again, it's 1974. So you're dealing with a lot of drug abuse. You're also dealing in New York City versus the current version that's placed in Chicago. And, I mean, if you flash forward present day Chicago, people always call it Chirac, and focus on the gun violence there. But how innocent people usually are victimized by thugs and people that necessarily don't have a motive to kill them. But before, it was kind of drug fueled rage. And that's what ends up happening with Charles Bronson's family. They kind of become the target of that. They're trying to rob his home. And I think the way they came about the information was different from the current version. But they end up attacking his wife while he's away, obviously. And also in the older version, one of the differences too, and you can again see this in the trailer, between the old version and the new version, is you see the daughters are different ages entirely. In the newer version, Bruce Willis's daughter is maybe in high school, about to go to college. And in the older version, she was already married. So she's a young woman, but not high school young woman age. She's more, you know, already in her 20s, and has a husband, actually, when she ends up being sexually assaulted and attacked. So those are just some differences there. Kind of different motives. I do like how the 2018 version made the challenges of present day relevant. So as far as, you know, social media and people with podcasts, of course, and radio shows, with shout out to Heather B and Sway in the Morning, they had way more appearances in the movie than I thought they would. I remember listening to Sway in the Morning one day, and Heather B was saying, oh yeah, this weekend's plans are to go see Death Wish, and she had already gone to one of the premieres, and then goes on to say, yeah, we were all up and through the film. I thought she was exaggerating when she said that, actually, but when I watched it, I actually went to watch it with a friend to the show, I am Wes Taylor, shout out to the Verdict Podcast, but I went with Wes to see the movie. And I remember every time they came on the screen, we actually just laughed a little bit more and more, because it was like, damn, I really didn't think they would be that much in the movie as they were. We were like, wow, they must be like best friends with the director or something like that, because I swear they had no less than 10 appearances in this movie, which was fun to see because there were familiar faces. And to be completely honest with you, I'm not the biggest Bruce Willis fan. I know I might get crucified for that. Some people tend to give him a lot of props as far as being the action guy. I think people appreciate his work in Die Hard, and they're not willing to let it go. And as a result, now they're Die Hard Bruce Willis fans. Whereas he's very hit or miss for me. The only thing I could think of where I saw Bruce Willis in and I've wanted to see his work time and time again, or at least once or twice after that, I'll say, was Sixth Sense. That was the last movie he was in that I really, really enjoyed. And even that movie is kind of the type of movie that you can watch one time and be done with it, because the thrill is gone. I mean, once you see the ending, it's like, okay, well, I know it's coming. So you don't necessarily go back and look for more clues to try to see if you can figure out how it's going to end. I mean, it's just over at that point. But I digress a little bit, but that's okay. It's my show. So again, I'm not really a fan of Bruce Willis, but it was fun seeing Heather B and Sway get some screen time and kind of fit into the movie in a way that makes sense. I will say it was a little forced after about the third time seeing them and hearing their voices, but I appreciate them being there nonetheless. So shout out to them again for that. So I think I'm gonna go ahead and transition into spoiler alerts, really, because the next thing I want to kind of address, actually I take that back, I am going to throw in this one part, because it doesn't seem to be a common idea, or is this something that wasn't really brought up when people were going to see this movie? Because this is already the second or third weekend that it's been out. And a lot of my friends, you know, I saw the debates on my social media timelines, basically comparing the old Death Wish to the new Death Wish. And I think there were like four or five movies in the original Death Wish franchise. I don't know that this one is going to go that way, but frankly, I hope not, just because it was good, but it wasn't that good, where I'd want to see more of this. And I just don't know that there's that much room to grow. But I will say, in between the remake of this 2018 Death Wish with the same exact name compared to the original Death Wish, again with the same name, in between that, there was a movie called The Brave One. And that movie featured Jodie Foster and Terrence Howard. Terrence Howard played a police officer who was kind of on to her. And then, but so in my opinion, Deathwish and The Brave One were exactly the same movie. The only difference was the hero was a heroine, and you know, Jodie Foster was the vigilante in that movie. And if you recall, spoiler alert on this movie, basically her fiance, they were walking through Central Park. So again, in New York City, much like the original Death Wish, they're walking through New York City, except they're in Central Park at night for whatever reason, walking their dogs, and some no good guys are in the park. They attack her. They attack the fiance. He doesn't live. And of course, she's kind of suffering from PTSD, which I think that movie did a better job kind of portraying how antsy or how anxious someone could be after a situation like that. So it definitely focused a little bit more on the psychological effects of being attacked like that. But then, of course, she feels empowered when she gets the gun, and she then goes on this hunt to find the people responsible for doing this to her fiance and taking him away from her. And she does end up getting her justice, and transitioning into, now officially transitioning into some spoiler alerts here. Death Wish, the original and the remake, these guys are definitely on a quest for justice. In the original Death Wish, Charles Bronson does not get the guy or guys, but he does set out looking for them, but he does not end up getting his guys in the end. And I think that's why the franchise was able maybe to keep going. I did not see Death Wish 2 and so forth, but I did watch the original Death Wish, and he doesn't get his guy in the end. So that's probably why he was able to kind of keep it going for a while. Now, at the end of the original Death Wish, he also, Charles Bronson's character ends up moving to Chicago away from New York. So I thought it was interesting that in this movie, instead of starting, instead of starting in New York, Bruce Willis' character starts in Chicago. And at the end of the movie, he ends up moving to New York because the daughter, again, is college age. So she decides to go off to college, and she's in New York. And of course, you know, it ends kind of the same exact way where he witnesses a crime, and then he kind of does this little finger thing with his gun, and pretends to shoot him with his finger. So it ended very similar in that regard. But Bruce Willis does get his guy, and that's kind of why I don't think they're going to end up with a sequel to this movie, because there's kind of no incentive for him to keep going or keep searching or hunting or looking for the bad guys. I don't know if he'll just go to New York and kind of be a vigilante. I do appreciate one thing that I felt like was a nod to, like kind of maybe a nod to Black Lives Matter. And again, like, this is where I think the movie got it right, as far as making it make sense in current, in present time. You know, Bruce Willis's character is wearing a hoodie throughout the movie, and that's kind of ends up what, it's the thing that ends up saving him, to a certain respect, because obviously there's cameras everywhere. He's able to hide his identity, his face, and being seen as a hero rather than the villain, with the hoodie on. And of course, this is where Sway's character, his character and his role in the film kind of makes sense, because you have people calling in where they're giving their opinions on whether or not they think he's a good guy, for getting the bad guys, or if he's not so good for taking the law into his own hands. And because it's a slippery slope, where does the vigilantism end? As terrible as it is to say, I mean, I'm sure George Zimmerman thought that he was a vigilante too, protecting his neighborhood from some black guy. So some black young man that must be a thug because he's black. So now I will say, I don't think the director hinted at that, but the fact that he takes law into his own hands, there's always context to crimes and layers to it. Sometimes there are criminals working amongst each other where they are trying to have some sort of street justice, and quote unquote good people or innocent people aren't getting hurt. So you kind of want them to sort out their own thing. I don't want the police involved, but I also don't want private citizens involved who have nothing to do with that. Overall, I will say I don't think that vigilantism is a good idea at all. It's just, and they showed the downside to that when there was a copycat at one point. Of course, his ass got shot, and because he had no business out there, trying to shoot people or trying to save people. But Bruce Willis, he ends up on social media as well. So people are recording him, but they can't see his face because of the hoodie. So that's how they got away, with that idea of him being found out, so to speak. I will say there's also another part to this movie that I am not quite feeling. And all of my friends who have listened to the Urban Breakdown podcast, usually we record on Saturdays. So if you've been listening to that, to our episodes for a while, by now you should know that one of my pet peeves in all films is going to surround the themes of white saviors. And generally speaking, this applies to slavery films. So I don't like watching slave films or watching films about civil rights, because there usually has to be a white person to make the black people's ideas and make the black people's ideas accepted or palatable. So that is like one of my pet peeves. I like to see black people getting stuff done themselves, if at all possible. I understand the need for white saviors. I just don't like to see it in a movie. I don't like to see it manifest itself in film. And there were like two instances in this movie where it fit that storyline to a T. There's a scene where, again, Bruce Willis's character is a doctor. So he's saving lives, but he's also taking them. So I appreciate the irony there. So in the original Death Wish, Charles Bronson was actually an architect. So I think this was a better fit. And I think that's where they got that right as well. It made more sense for him to be a doctor, especially when he was getting banged up himself. He was able to stitch himself up. That made sense. An architect may not necessarily know how to do something like that. So, but going back to the scene that I was referring to, there was a scene where he goes, he's a doctor, and he's treating a patient who's a black boy, maybe like 8 or 9 years old. And the kid ends up telling him a story about, I wouldn't sell drugs for like the local drug dealer, so he shot me in the leg. So Bruce Willis takes it upon himself to go fix the situation, again, a vigilante, and he shoots the guy in broad daylight. And then there was another scene where, and of course nobody wanted to tell on him because they were able to take his drugs, and you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Nobody was crying over the drug dealer. Apparently he was a really mean person. So I was like, okay, I guess. And then the other scene that I'm referring to, where they kind of demonstrate this white savior complex, is there was like a hooker, I think, and something happened with the hooker, and he just happened to be there. I think this was like at the very beginning, of his, you know, of his experimentation with this vigilante, identity. And he's basically walking down the street. He sees some like hookers or sex workers or something being attacked. And he shoots the guy that was trying to hurt her. And she's black. And of course she says, like, when she's in the ambulance, she's like, "He's my hero." And I was just like, really, girl? Like, I just thought that was the funniest thing, and I had no choice but to suck my teeth and roll my eyes just a little bit at how ridiculous that scene was. That's just my two cents. I'm probably overthinking it. I will say Black Panther has me in my feelings a lot more recently, so I probably, I'm looking at everything under an extra careful lens. So, you know, Black Panther has me feeling myself for a little bit, and probably will continue to do so. So, pardon me for being sensitive, but that's just my two cents on that. Overall, I do think, as far as remakes are concerned, this was a pretty good one. I would not go see it again. I would definitely watch it, you know, when it comes on regular TV, like by the time it comes on FX or whatever, I would sit down and watch it again. It was worth my time to do so. I just wouldn't pay another $10 or $15 to watch it again, as I've done for like Black Panther and plan to do for Wrinkle in Time. Other part to that is, would I have paid to see it in the movie? Yes, but maybe I would have paid or waited to see it on Tuesday, Tuesday evening when it's $5 Tuesday, or as Blue would say, Blue is my co-host as well on He Said, She Said, and some other podcasts, and of course, part of the Urban Breakdown family. He's the father of the Urban Breakdown family. As he would say, maybe use MoviePass, so that wouldn't even be a concern for me. So, I do think it's worth your time. You'll have to decide whether or not it's worth your dollar to actually go see. And frankly, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it an 8. And I'm Wes Taylor gave it, a 7.5. I'm sure he'll be on other episodes and we'll kind of talk about some other movies that come up. I do plan to do some book reviews. I have one book in mind and have a guest lined up, but I'm always welcome and I'd love to hear your feedback about if you have seen this movie, and I'd also like your feedback on things I should check out. Now that you've learned a little bit about me, I'm hoping you'll kind of keep it in line with what I do and don't like, but even if you think it's something I wouldn't like, share it with me anyway, because I'd love to roast it if it's terrible. So I look forward to hearing from you guys, and thank you for joining me on this first episode of Odiwan Kenobi Speaks. Follow me on Instagram at Virgo2384, and of course, like our Urban Breakdown page, The Urban Breakdown on Facebook as well. Thanks so much for your time. Bye, guys.